It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. We are, wrapping up the summer. It's weird. My kids are getting ready to go back to school, which is great. I have two kids left. Anyway, good to have you here, my friends. Always fun to, have you guys here. We appreciate all the love and support. All right, so here's a quote of the day by Shannon L. Adler. The only real battle in life is between hanging on and letting go, by Shannon L. Adler. So I just thought that was kind of what I've been thinking about. Hanging on, letting go, getting back up. All right, let's get this party started. Today on the show, we have Alexandra Lozano, an award-winning immigration attorney. Alexandra Lozano is the author of Be the CEO of Your Own Law Firm and founder of Association of Mother Immigration Attorneys. The acronym is AMIGA, which I love. I think that's fantastic. Which helps solo women attorneys transform their practice into thriving businesses. Alexandra Lozano, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's talk about this because, you know, one of the conceptions out there is that, you know, lawyers like dentists, you know, all you guys have to do is open up your practice, you get a flood of business. Is running a law firm like running any other business?
The truth is it is like running any other business, but people don't necessarily understand that. And I think that this is something that goes beyond just law firms. Basically, anyone who runs a small business usually starts the business because they love what it is that they do, whether it's a dentist or a lawyer or someone who has a really great idea for a comic book store. They're passionate about their idea, and then a business is the vehicle through which they can do the work that they love. And so they don't really focus on the business part of it. They just see the business as a means to an end, and that's where most of us end up in this very vicious cycle of overworking, under-earning, and I think that goes for even the most educated of us out there.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, so let's talk about your practice specifically. You're an immigration attorney. There's a lot of things happening in immigration law right now. So tell us a little bit about your story. Here you are, you're going to law school. When did you decide you wanted to be an immigration attorney and why?
I always knew that I wanted to be an immigration attorney because I grew up in Florida and I met so many people from South America when I was in college who were desperate for an opportunity to stay. These were very highly educated people, engineers, people who were excellent at math and wanted to be mathematicians, and they didn't have any opportunities in their home countries. And I said, I really want to help those people. But it actually even started before that when I went to Belize when I was 16 and saw poverty for the first time. And I said, I want to have the opportunity to give a voice to the voiceless. I wanted to work in international human rights. So then my experience in college and the experience of seeing poverty, I really put it all together. And I said, the way that I can fight for justice, the way I can fight for equality is to fight for the plight of undocumented immigrants in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and it's interesting that you said it's the first time you saw poverty, because a lot of people think they see poverty until they go and actually see poverty. Even our poor here isn't as poor as you think when you go to some of these other places.
It's true. I'd never seen a house that didn't have floors. It was dirt floors and six people living in one room, and there were no beds and people sleeping in the dirt and children that didn't go to school. I had never seen something like that, and something that will stay with me for my whole life is here I was a kid, right, 16 years old, and I really had this connection with this little boy who was about 3 or 4, and the day that I was leaving, his mother came to me with tears in her eyes with her child in her arms and asked me, if I could take him with me and raise him myself.
Wow.
And that is, it was impactful for me as a child, but it's even more impactful for me now. I'm a mom with 5 kids, and the thought of giving a child away because it's the only way that they could have a good life is just, it's the ultimate sacrifice.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And okay, so now, were you born here in the U.S. and your family is from where?
I'm born in the U.S. My parents are U.S. born, but I am a child of immigrants. My grandparents were from Czech Republic, were former Czechoslovakia, and Italy.
Gotcha. Okay.
And my husband is from Mexico.
Gotcha. All right. So, are the kids learning Spanish and Czech at home, or besides English? What's going on there?
I unfortunately don't speak Czech, but I am a fluent Spanish speaker, and with the kids, we try our best. It's not as popular at school with their friends, you know, but with the little one, we finally put them in a bilingual school with hope. But it was interesting. I was just in Europe last week, and every single country that we went to, everyone was at least bilingual, if not trilingual. And it really, it shows, I feel like in America, we don't value bilingualism the same way. And it made me very recommitted to bringing at least 2 languages to my kids.
Good for you. Yeah. You know what? We also have 5 kids, and I've done a very poor job of teaching my kids Spanish. And only one of my kids knows Spanish fluently. And I think all the rest of the kids know like 3 or 4 Spanish words, and that's about it. So, yeah, it's, you know what, it's first of all, it's the challenge is, A, the kids really don't want to learn it because and there's no immediate application. The fact that they know Spanish in America, unless they're in a Spanish-speaking community, you know, there's no immediate application. So it's like, why should I learn this? But then when you get a little bit older, you know, all of my kids say, oh, Dad, I wish you would have taught me Spanish. Get out of here. You know, come on.
Yeah, all right. Completely. And I tell them this all the time. I'm like, you're going to wish this, you know, especially if they look very Mexican. And so people are going to assume it about them. And I'm like, you are going to wish that you knew it. But it's hard to make them see the future.
It is. All right. So let's talk about your book, Be the CEO of Your Law Firm, Gain Control, Turn a Profit, and Reclaim Your Life. I love that. Gain control, turn a profit, and reclaim your life. I bet you that's got to be very exciting for a lot of attorneys out there. So talk about the book. Why write this book?
Well, the reason why I wrote this book is because I was completely lost with running my law practice. I wanted to do law for law's sake. I love being a lawyer. I'm very passionate about the cause that I do. And I thought that if I wanted to make money from it, then I was money hungry, a money hungry lawyer. And so what I did was I tried to just do the work that I love, and I didn't want to do the business side of it. But then what happened is my life spiraled out of control. I was constantly overdrawing my account. I had a lot of shame because I didn't know how to run a business. I had all of these things. Nothing was working out because, you know, I always say that people should be fearful that they will be obsessed with money if they want to charge money. But I'm like, when you don't have any money, that becomes an obsession in and of itself.
Yes.
And so I said, you have to get serious about running a business. So actually what I did was I was running a business. I decided that I didn't want to focus on money at all. I decided to run my business from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and have a satellite office in Seattle. And I thought, oh, then I don't have to worry about money because I could live in pesos. But then I was pregnant. Yeah, it was my big plan to avoid having to do business. Then I was pregnant, visiting the United States. Hurricane hit my home in Cabo. I lost everything. I'm living in Seattle with nothing, not a dime to my name, a business that was earning in pesos. And I said, I've got to do something more. I need to figure out how to be a CEO. I got to get my business mind on and start running a business. And so then I realized many other lawyers are struggling with how to run a business. And I said, I started blogging about what I was doing. I went from earning about $20,000 to $30,000 a year to earning 6 figures in 3 months. And now I'm a seven-figure law firm, and I'm the only lawyer. And so I said, I'm going to teach other people so no one has to go through that fear, shame, lost feeling that I had for so many years.
Absolutely. No, I love that. That's incredible. And you know, you're absolutely right. Not only, is this something that a lot of attorneys are going to gravitate towards, but I think that a lot of people, a lot of business owners, solo entrepreneurs, if you will, have struggled with the same thing. It's just so easy to do. And in the book, you talk about this thing called the associate mindset. Talk about that. What is the associate mindset?
Sure. So, and when we're lawyers, we're associate lawyers when we work for someone else. And so that means that we get to come in, punch the time clock, do the work that we love to do, and go home. But then what happens is when we run our own business, when we own our own law firm, a lot of us are operating like we're still associates in our own law firm. We want to just punch the time clock, do the work that we love, and go home and leave the payroll and the taxes and the hiring, firing, management, marketing, all of that to someone else. But that person doesn't exist because we are the CEO when we own a business. We are not an associate attorney in our law firm.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So how do you go about breaking that mindset?
It really is a mindset shift is what it requires. And so basically what I came up with was the CEO mindset, which I delineated in my book, which are 6 goals and responsibilities as the CEO of your law firm. And I decided I have to do every single one of those or find someone to do them for me. But the biggest mindset shift that I think that we have to have as small business owners in general, as lawyers in particular, I guess I could say, is that we have to understand that the work that we do is as important as the business side. The work is not more important than running a successful business. And so once we have that understanding that they're both equally important, then we can start making sure that we're tending to the business side of things in addition to doing the work that is our passion and what we could call even our calling.
Yeah. Yeah, because really – you might want to help all these people, right? Whatever your passion is in your law practice, but you can't help your people if you're out of business.
That definitely. And also something that I've come to value is extreme efficiency in organization. And I found that I can serve my clients better if I can provide them with a receipt and know exactly when they paid and when their case is going to be paid off. I can have served them best when everyone in my firm has a very uniform way of communicating with clients so that everyone knows what's happening in a case at any given moment. Before I got this organized, I was in absolute chaos all the time. I was just putting out fire to fire instead of running my law firm like a Starbucks, which I like to say, you know, anywhere in the world that you go to Starbucks, you're going to have the same experience. You can go in China, you can go in Mexico, you can go in Seattle, and you're going to have the same exact experience. And I have decided that for my clients, that experience and having that extreme organization is as important as their legal case because they go hand in hand. If we're disorganized in one way, it makes us disorganized in every way.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because it starts to, spill over into other parts of your life. I mean, you mentioned, you know, you're being overdrawn at your bank. So then you also mentioned about the shame of that. And then, you know what, you're not feeling when you're feeling that those issues, when you're feeling that shame, all of a sudden it reduces your self-esteem, which doesn't help you in the courtroom. It doesn't help you with your practice. So it starts to spill over in all parts of your business, of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then it starts to make every client interaction stressful because what if they're calling to know how much they owe, or what if they're calling to say, why has my case not been submitted? So then all of a sudden, every interaction with your law firm puts you on the defensive because you feel defensive of the fact that you know that things are out of control. I know that there's a better way. I know that there's a way out of the chaos. When I was in the middle of it, I didn't think that there was a way out. I was running myself into the ground, and I've seen this with lawyers throughout the country. I work with lawyers one-on-one, coaching and consulting with them, and I work particularly with women who deal a lot with the issues of shame, because every moment that we're working, we're not with our children, and there's a lot of societal pressure about all of that. And so we start to feel like failures. And then once we get into that mindset of we're failing, I'm so embarrassed, I can't believe this is happening to me, then it's hard to get out. It's hard to see the way out. And also, lawyers were just not the best business people. So nobody's out there saying these are the steps. This is the way out. And so that's why I wanted to write this book, because as you see in the book, it's a very simple read, and it is very step-by-step oriented to help you step out of that chaos and into not just financial success, but personal success in the way that we each define it. We don't live to do this work. We don't live for our law firm. Our law firm fits nicely into our life in the way that we want it to fit there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this, because to me this is important. You mentioned this in the book, and that is marketing the law firm. You know, mm-hmm. Why is marketing so important for law firms? Talk about this.
Marketing is something that a lot of lawyers and I think business owners in general believe is dirty. They think that if you do good work, then people should just out of the air be able to find you, or that you should just rely on referrals. And if you want to do any paid marketing, then it's somehow bad. It means that you're less. But that's just another fake story that we're telling ourselves. It's fake news, as they say. And you can change that, because marketing really is a conversation with people who want to know who you are. You do great work, and people need to be able to find you. They need to be able to know how to interact with you. And marketing is the vehicle that allows people to understand who you are, what you do, and why they should pick you among all the other people who are out there.
Yes. And you know what's so funny? I love that whole fake news thing. Years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but there was law firms were prohibited from marketing. This is crazy. And there was a lawyer, I can't remember his first name, the last name is Van Osteen, took this all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said exactly what you said. How are consumers going to find you if you're not allowed to market your business? And so it just boggles my mind that here in America, lawyers literally had to go all the way to the Supreme Court to be allowed to market their business. And you're also right about this fake news, this fake story that a lot of people, not just lawyers, not just doctors, but a lot of people think that marketing is somehow dirty or beneath them. And the reality is, the biggest companies in the world, the multi-billionaires of the world, are billionaires because they marketed their business.
I mean, how many times do you see Coca-Cola during the World Cup? It's not on accident. That's not free placement. They paid to be there.
Yeah, and on top of that, and I like that analogy, and on top of that, I cannot tell you how many times I've ever said, hey, you know what? I drink Coke. You should drink Coke too. I've never referred any business to Coke.
Right. Who's out there doing that? You know, and it's so funny when with lawyers, when people say, I want to grow my business, what should I do? And the first thing that other lawyers say to them is, oh, do good work and you're going to get referrals. Well, obviously, I absolutely hate that advice. I think it's so demeaning, because everyone knows that. But if you're starting a business and you need to get business in the door, you know, having one client and hope that they refer 50 is not a business plan. That does not help you have success. You need to find a different way to get out there and communicate with people so that way they can find you.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about branding the law firm. What branding advice would you recommend?
Branding, I think that it's a scary word for business owners to say the word branding, but really all a brand is you make a logo, you make a tagline, and you use some colors over and over. You know, that's the basics of it. For a small business, that's all you need. So something that I like to say is find a logo that really connects with your ideal client. And the ideal client is something that I talk about in the book. Who do you want to attract to your law firm, and what do they want to see from you? I think a mistake that we make in branding is that we start to make a business that we want to go to, but it's not about us. When you run a business, it's not about you. It's about your client and your consumer. So I, for example, my clientele are all Mexican, or 99% Mexican. So we incorporated a Mexican symbol in our logo because that is something that people relate to. We use the Mexican flag colors of red and green and white. So all of that reflects who is coming to us. And that's all that a brand is. And then a logo, really all it needs to do is talk to your potential clients' pain points. They all have pain points. They're all scared for some reason. They all have a reason that they need to come to you. So, for example, we say reuniting families through the immigration system. And that's basically because the fear of our clients is that their families are going to be separated through the immigration system. So we kind of turn that on its head and say over and over, what we do here is we bring families together with the system.
Yeah, that's, and I love that. I love the fact that you said create everything for your ideal client, right? So, because you have to have them in your mind, being able to understand what your clients are going through, what's keeping them up at night, this fear of being separated, this fear of being deported, this fear of all this stuff for an immigration attorney is paramount to, serving your clients. And so I love that the fact that you've taken on these the colors from Mexico. I think that's fantastic. Because 99% of your clients are from Mexico, they're instantly going to say, hey, I recognize those colors. This person must be right. Somebody I can deal with. And of course, it doesn't hurt that your husband is also from Mexico, and both you guys lived in Mexico. So there's that that connection there. So all this stuff is important. And you're absolutely right. I think so many people, again, doctors, lawyers, businesses in general, look at their logo, design their website, all this based on what they like versus what their clients might like. And because ultimately, who cares about you and me and everybody else? The only thing that matters is what the client cares about. And if the client says, man, that abogada there, man, I like her law firm. I like her colors. I like what she's saying. That's all that's when you know you've done something right. Until then, until your clients put that approval on your stuff, it just doesn't matter.
It's true.
Yeah.
And basically what I like to say is lawyers like to put websites for other lawyers. They put all their accolades. And all of this, I'm like, a client does not normally care about that. I mean, it depends on your ideal client. But basically, people want to know, I have a problem. Can you solve it? Are you the right person to solve it for me? And everything that you have out there, whether it's social media, your web, even the way that people answer the phones in your business, all of that should be a response to those questions. Yes, we can help you. Yes, we are the right people for you. Here is how we're going to serve you. That's what it's all about. If you don't have one, there is no lawyer out there that's going to hire me because there's no reason for it. I'm not looking to have lawyers as clients. I'm looking to have undocumented Mexicans as my clients.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? It's so funny. You hit the nail right on the head. We sometimes, when I say we, business owners come out and hey, I went to this. School and I got this award and this accolade and all that's great, guys. We're not saying don't get those things, but when you are vomiting all that information all over your clients, you're doing it wrong. Because I've never had a client say, hey, Bert, what college did you go through? Because college is really important to me. Before I hire a consultant to help me with my marketing, I got to make sure that you went to the right school and you got the right GPA. Like you said, all they care about, Bert, is I have this problem. Can you solve it for me? Let's get to work. And that's it.
Yep. Yes.
It's amazing how we, again, business owners, we get so lost. And it's just It just happens. And I think that lawyers and doctors, even accountants, you go to school to become a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant, a CPA, you name it. They don't go in there and say, okay, hey, now that you're almost ready to graduate from law school, we're going to give you we're going to teach you how to market your business and put your business together. That's a very crucial step, and they really need to do that.
They're failing us. Oh, I completely agree. They're failing us. You know, I think there's nothing out there. There's nothing in our law schools. There's really nothing within our bottoms that say, do this to run a successful business. And I like to say, you know, people don't, you know, doctors, lawyers, or all of these high-level professionals that go out and start a business, it's not like they said, I would like to say, it's not like they had this business idea that they said, let me take this to Shark Tank because this is going to be a killer business, you know?
Right.
They're like, oh, no. I went to medical school, so I want to be a doctor, so I'm going to start a practice. Like, that's how it happens.
Absolutely.
And they don't know what they're doing with the business.
No, they don't. And you know what's so funny, too, is, look, we've seen both in the medical profession and in the legal profession, good people who got into trouble over making financial financial poor choices, meaning in a case of a lawyer, you see it every year where lawyers get disbarred and sometimes even go to jail because they took money from their client's account to cover payroll or something, right? To keep up pretense. And then we see people in the medical industry do the same thing. Well, they will double bill Medicare or Medicaid or even an insurance provider in hopes that they can stay their business afloat. And guys, if you're doing that, you need to stop. You need to start marketing your business.
Yeah, it's not as hard as we make it seem. But you know, I feel like that on the other side with lawyers, for example, where they'll just charge way too little. You know, the idea of lawyers being money hungry is so hard for me to understand, given the fact that I don't know any lawyers that are. Most of them are just earning under $60,000 a year. And so what happens is I think some lawyers accidentally are malpracticing because they're charging so little that they have to have so many cases and they don't have any systems in place. So it's just all out of control, and they can accidentally make a huge mistake in a client's case, but just because they can't keep up with the volume that they need in order to survive.
Yes. Yes. It's just funny. And I'm glad it's so funny you should say that. Yeah. A lot of lawyers do charge too little. But ultimately, I think that the challenge is for any professional is, and really any business, is the amount of marketing they do or maybe the amount of marketing they don't do, right? And so if you're not marketing your business, if you don't have a marketing plan, chances of you succeeding are like zero. And you might get lucky and you might get a couple of referrals here and there, but as you said earlier, you cannot predict that. You cannot develop a plan on referrals. It just doesn't work. And if by chance you have heard of somebody who says, man, I built my entire practice on referrals, either they're lying or they're lucky. And I bet you most
or
likely they're lucky.
And
they're really, really old.
For about 50 years. And so there's just nothing else except for referrals for them at this point. You know
right.
what I mean? Because it's the only way that you can have been in business long enough to have a sustainable business based on referrals. Because otherwise, like you say, I think it's just lying.
Yeah, they're lying. They got money in the bank from some other thing. But anyway, it does take marketing. All right. So listen, we're running short on time. So what's the one thing that you see most people forget to do when working or setting up a successful legal practice?
I would say that the most important thing that anyone needs to do it as a business from day one. Make yourself a CEO. If you don't know what that means, if you don't know how to run a business, if you don't know how to think like a CEO, then find a way. Read my book, Be the CEO of Your Law Firm. Read other business books. Apply it to your business. If you run it as a business from day one, you are setting yourself up for success.
I love that. All right. So real quick, I have a couple of real quick questions. I like to ask this of all my entrepreneurs. and that is, how do you deal with fear? Here you are, we've talked about some of the stuff that you went through. You moved to Mexico. You had a satellite office in, I think, San Diego. Your stuff there in Mexico got hit by a natural disaster. You've written a book. You obviously have your own business. How do you deal with fear?
Fear, all that fear is a matter of talking back to it. I like to say we have to recognize that we tell ourselves fake stories. So we have to recognize that it's fake. Fear most of the time is a fake story that we have on repeat in our head. Once we recognize that, we can either change the story or I like to say talk back to it and say it's not true and these are the reasons why. I mean, I think that you have to sit with fear daily, let it come up for you, and shine that light right on it. Because if you don't banish it, then it will stay there and it will destroy you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Again, fear is fake news, right?
It is. It's fake news. And the problem is it's fake news that's playing on 24-hour loop in your head. So you've got to change the channel or turn it off.
Yeah, talk about, matter of fact, that is ultimately the biggest fake news broadcaster out there is the thoughts or talks in our heads, right?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. All right, so do you have a personal self-talk, mantra, affirmation, or self-belief that contributes to your success?
I like to say that earning a great living and doing great work are not mutually exclusive. I can do great work for my clients, I can have a great living, and I can have a great lifestyle. And I'm committed to all of those things in my life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. All right, last but not least, if somebody wants to get a hold of you or your book, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Sure, you can check me out on AliLozano.com or AmigaLawyers.com, and you can get my book on Amazon, or if you go to AliLozano.com, there are a bunch of freebies that we give to you for ordering through there. So I'd love to connect with everyone. You can also email me at Ali, A-L-L-Y, at AliLozano.com.
Ali as an allied. I like it. Ali, A-L-L-Y, Lozano, LOZANO.com. Get her book, get her freebies. And even though, she obviously specializes with legal practices, everything that we talked about is applicable to all businesses. Because if you are not running your business like a CEO, then you're going to have some problems. If you're not marketing your business, you're going to have problems. If you are creating your marketing materials, your websites and stuff like that to impress yourself and your peers, you're going to run into trouble. So everything, Ali, that we talked about today is not only for lawyers, but really for anybody who's trying to run a successful business.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest feedback I've gotten. People buy my book who are not lawyers, and they're like, you've changed my business, just because they found ways to make it work for them. This is just basic business principles that once you get it, you can have a thriving business that you love and a life that you are just beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Ali Lozano, it's been a pleasure getting to know you today. Looking forward to bringing you back again and talking some more.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You bet. Good stuff there from attorney Ali Lozano. Ali, A-L-L-Y, Lozano, L-O-Z, as in zebra, A-N-O.com is where you can find out more about her. Get her book, Be the CEO of Your Law Firm. And I just love the subtitle, Be the CEO of Your Law Firm, Gain Control, Turn a Profit, and Reclaim Your Life. Because really, ladies and gentlemen, haven't we all lost control, not made a profit, and kind of lost our life in the pursuit of growing our business? So I just love this title. And as always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Let's share this episode with everybody we know, not only if they're lawyers, but if they're doctors, plumbers, if they're running a business, they're most likely going to enjoy this episode. If they're running a successful business, they will enjoy some of the things that we discussed, and they may even excited about some of the things that they may have forgotten. If they're struggling in business, and we know that 95% of all businesses struggle, then some of this stuff will help them with their current business and maybe help them gain control, turn a profit, and reclaim their life. So as always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.